You may be seated. I would like Nikki Limbo to take the pulpit at this time. And George Albus will be following. We'd like to have a song between them. Nikki Limbo came from Skyscraper Country, back there in New York City, and out here to the rainy Northwest, and where he was in Bible College and learned the Word and the things of God, and God sent him to a far-off land of Kansas. And he found himself out there in a trailer house out in a flat area outside of the town, and where tumbleweeds would be going by his window, and he didn't know if this was the Great Tribulation or not, but and if he'd missed the rapture, but he was going to be faithful and die a martyr's death if necessary. And he ministered there, and he's still there. We thank God for him. I'm glad that he's here this morning.
Hallelujah. Some of you think that's an exaggeration. I'd like you to stand with me just for a few moments. And I feel a good anointing upon me, but I would just like you to pray with me. I'm getting battled in my throat. I feel a lot of congestion coming up, and I just want to be free to minister this message. Father, in thy holy name, O God, I receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ into my throat this morning. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, hindering spirit. You will release this throat right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and I receive the healing virtue of my God. You will not hinder God's people this morning from hearing the word of truth. And in the name of Jesus, I receive his healing virtue right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is The Beauty of His Chosen One. The Beauty of His Chosen One. Now, the basic underlying theme of this message is of God's grace as seen in His people. As He takes that which is of the dust of the earth, and He elevates it to the highest position made available to fallen man. And I truly believe that the bride of Christ, and I mean this, will be the highest example of God's grace that man has ever seen. It must be so, because the beauty that he is going to bring out of it is going to eclipse that which the world has ever seen. And yet the elements that he's going to use, and I mean us, are of the dust of the earth. And so in order for this to be true, God's grace must be seen. And if you will understand one thing about the bride of Christ this morning, brethren, it is that God's grace will accomplish that which he is calling us to, and it must be so, or else it will be a work of the flesh, and it will not be the work of a cunning craftsman. So reach out this morning and understand God's grace is based in this message this morning. Now I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Now although the picture we're going to look at this morning is Christ's bride in heaven, I believe that we shall also see this in type before the rapture. For there shall be a generation of people that shall come into an experiential oneness with him. This is not theological. God is calling us now his bride, though we're not completed. He's even called us his cherubim, but we're not completed. But we shall be completed before he takes us home. Amen? And so this picture this morning, I want you to take that in mind. Although I fully understand this is speaking of the bride in heaven, I want you to understand that we are going to see the glory, the manifestation of the sons of God, the unveiling. And this is such a beautiful picture. I want to endeavor to unveil this that it might shine bright in your eyes this morning. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God is preparing a tabernacle, a body, And as the pastor so aptly depicted and portrayed to us Thursday night, that body is going to fill the whole earth, the dwelling place of God. And as the tabernacle in the Old Testament represented Christ, yet also in that tabernacle was represented the saints in so many different pictures, in so many different formats. Now verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And they talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now the question that must arise in your mind, and so many people miss this, and it's so plain and so simple, I can't see how many do. But the question is this angel going to do that which he has just spoken? And if so, you are locked into an inescapable conclusion. Verse 10, and yet many Christians miss this. This is so simple. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, because he was going to show him such a great and a grand sight that was so large. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, the only possibilities you're faced with as you look at this verse are as follows. Either this angel got confused and didn't show him the bride, or he got lost and he couldn't show him, or he forgot what he was doing and he went on some great, fantastic tangent that only pastors are apt to do, right? Before showing him the bride. Or he did that which he set out to do and to show John, and that was to show him the Lamb's wife. That's all. The Lamb's wife. This does not represent all of Israel, as it were. It does not represent all of God's people. But it represents his bride. Now, either he was going to do what he told him he was going to do, or he didn't. And the Bible says these words are true and they are faithful. So it's important to understand that John is now looking at the bride. This city is a picture of the bride of Christ, just as the cherubim are a picture of the bride in the book of Ezekiel. And as the Shulamite, as in the Song of Solomon, is a portrait of the bride also. So with that in mind, let's look what God is about to create. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Having, as this city descended, the glory of God, her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now the reason that her light was of this color was because this is what the walls of this city were made of. Verse 18. The building of the wall of it was of jasper. And so the walls of this city cast a beautiful hue of jasper because they were clear. But there was something within her that caused this hue to come out. If there was no light inside of that city, you would not have seen the glory of God coming down and seeing her cast as you as jasper. And verse 23 tells us what this light is going to be. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the lamp thereof. The Lamb was that lamp that was inside of her to cast that beautiful you out alone. And let me tell you, no minister, not one, is going to be that light for all to see. But just as the bride was portrayed through the men of Israel in the book of the Song of Solomon, they lifted that palanquin high up that only one was seen. As those men of Israel walked with their swords girded by their sides, there was only one lamp that was being seen. And I'll tell you, that causes an excitement in my heart. And I am committed to that. That only Jesus is seen. God's going to have us shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm, with that light inside emanating. Now, the only light within her was Jesus. And when people looked at her, they did not see her. They saw Jesus, for her walls were clear. She's transparent, allowing him alone to be seen, just as the cherubim, with two of their wings, hide their body so that nothing can be seen of themselves. Now, these walls were huge, and they were the most prominent part about her. Look at verse 12. She had a wall great and high, and it's not kidding. Read verse 16. The city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, And he that measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So in other words, the length of the city and the breadth and the height are all equal. So this wasn't any small wall that you were looking through, but this was some huge, prominent part of her. And the greatest part of her beauty was that she could not be seen, as it were, but that only Jesus could be seen. Only that lamp, the Son of Man, could be seen. And she's allowing him to be alone seen. Now, these walls were not only clear or transparent, but the scripture says they were as clear as crystal. Now, that the phrase clear as crystal is one Greek word, and it's crystallizo, and it comes from a word that means ice. And it's where we get our word crystal from. So the idea here is not that something is just clear and transparent, but that it's crystal in appearance. And being as crystal, it's diffracting the light that's produced by the lamp. And it's causing many different colors to be seen. And it's speaking of the attributes of his nature being seen through the various members of his body. And this is important to understand. For one person alone could not show forth all his glory, and neither could many people alone, copying one, show forth his glory properly. But we as a body, with God flowing through the various talents and the abilities and the attributes, through us as various individuals, can properly display his glory. Do you know what that means? God is not looking for you to copy anyone else. God is not looking for you to be like Keith Johnson or Mary Ellen Wade or like the pastor or like your Bible college teachers. He wants you to be you. And if you will not, then this will not shine as crystal. Now, I'd appreciate it. I kind of got lost in the time. If you can give me a 5-minute warning. Now, God is looking for us to be free, to allow him to show forth his light through varied personalities and abilities that he's given us. Now, that means don't box your brother in and don't box yourself in. Be free to allow God to flow through you with that lamp that's within. God does not want you to be like your brother, but rather to be like him, with your personality and your characteristics being used properly for his glory. And this is why it's so important we do not box in the entire body of Christ, but allow God to do that which he wants. I think it is the great wisdom of God, as one shared in a vision, that we don't know all that we're going to be joined up together with. Boy, we would botch it up. We would mess it up. We want them to be like us. We'd want them to do exactly what we want. But God does not want that. He wants this to be a work of a cunning craftsman. And I'll tell you, only the cunning craftsman could do this. Now, the strength of a city is seen in its walls. And the strength of this city lies in the fact that they're transparent. And you can see right in. And so, in other words, only Jesus is her defense. And they allow Jesus to shine forth, and this protects them from their enemies. In other words, there's no carnal efforts, and boy, do we have to be stripped of this. We're constantly putting our hands on the wall so he can't be seen in an attempt to save ourselves. But God wants us all to lay down so that all the self-protecting devices seen in her are gone. And Jesus is allowed to go forth and make her defense for her. Now, it's strange in the natural, if you really think about it, to have your walls of defense transparent to allow your enemy to see inside and see what's going on and what you're doing and what you're planning. But you know, I believe this is representing, she has come to a place of faith and confidence in God. So you wouldn't do that in the natural. You'd pile up all kinds of things. You'd have FBI agents, CIA agents, all kinds of triple arms and so on, security devices, you know, if they came within hundreds of miles of your town. But she is in a place of confidence that as she recognizes that as her enemies see the lamp, as they see the lamp within her, they will lay down their weapons of defense and they will not attack. And therefore, she needs to make no defense of her own. She's come to a place where she's pulled down her walls of defense, and her transparency did not make her vulnerable. Although to the natural mind, perhaps it would seem so. But it actually became her strength, and again, a great prominent feature of this structure. Now let's look at verse 12. They had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, and which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. Now the gates speak of wisdom, for it is where the elders of the city would come to discuss great matters of importance and where wise decisions were made to govern the community. So wisdom was a very apparent aspect of her beauty. And she will possess great wisdom to lead and govern God's people. And it was made available to all. Verse 13 mentions many gates and easy access. But this mind that she had was not a mind of her own, but it was the mind of Christ. Verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and pearls representing that pearl of great price was the material that was made up of these gates. And so this mind and wisdom was not her own. Her wisdom came from the patriarchs of old. She received much of their experience from wisdom, from which wisdom is obtained. And we receive much knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Old Testament, and this is where he wants us to experience much of the Son of Man. And I believe this is where we receive much of the wisdom and the infilling of the Son of Man into our being. And I believe she's experienced much of the Son of Man in the Old Covenant. And this shall become a great praise unto many, as many look at her. As Isaiah 60, verse 18 says, thou shalt call thy gates praise. And this wisdom shall portray and bring forth much beauty through her. And the wisdom of Christ shall be the elements of her decision, and not of man. They should be the elements of her judgments. Now, I believe the gates also, in a secondary sense, can also be speaking of an access into that city of refuge. And there's an easy access in the end of time to the bride of Christ. For she has many gates on each side, enough for any sinner who wants to come in to enter. And the scripture says that the gospel shall be preached unto the ends of the earth, and then shall the end come. And we know that mass evangelism is going to be a sign of what is going to happen in the end of time, according to Matthew 24:14. Now, verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, the strength of this city, which the walls represented, were based on this foundation laid by the 12 apostles. So this is one who has come out of all false doctrine and traditions of man and is built upon that which was laid by the 12 apostles of the Lamb. She's recovered all the truths that were lost during the Dark Ages by digging deep through the rubble of tradition and man's ideas to find the original foundation of the church that had been abandoned since the days of the apostles. And she's been successful in overturning all that the devil has done throughout the centuries. And then is restored all that the canker has eaten and all that the palmer worm has torn, because then she builds up. That which was stolen by the devil has been redeemed and brought back to the church. Hallelujah. She has started where the 12 did and is built up, placing huge walls upon these foundations. Now, most are looking for something that's just a little bit different than the book of Acts. But that's not at all what's happening here. That which shall be done in the end of time shall far eclipse that which was done in the book of Acts. These walls are high, and they're built upon that foundation. Now, we can develop this forever and ever, but I must move on. And so understanding that, if that is true, and if we are going to eclipse that, and I believe that, which was done in the book of Acts, then the pressures and the fires of testing that we shall go through shall far exceed that which they experienced years ago. And because the glory must be commensurate with the pressure. For it will be the pressures that will bring forth great beauty. Verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now this street was pure, and it speaks of her walk that was tried in the fire and purged to such an extent that until it brought forth, as it were, transparent glass. All the dross, and you're talking about a hot fire and a lot of skimming. All the dross and all the impurities were removed by the pressure she went through. Brethren, do you hear that? Now do you know why you're going through what you're going through? Think it not strange, brethren, if that is your goal. If this is your goal, then you must be tried. You must be shaken. There must be revelation, as it were, pulled off your mind for a season that you alone can trust in God as the Son of Man himself had to experience. And we will not be any greater than him. Now, gold speaks of deity. And so because of this, she has become a partaker of the divine nature, as spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3 and 4. By claiming the promises of God, which she had to do, God knows what he's doing, because he forced her into a position, for it did not look like this man-child would be born. World government had been formed. The church was bowed over. They looked around and they saw many of their brethren bowed over. But she refused to stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but was empowered through faith, and therefore became a partaker of the divine nature. Because she held to the promises. This will be by grace through faith, the scripture says. Now, despite all that will happen and the circumstances surrounding us, this picture of the bride is faithful and true, and it will come to pass. Just a few last comments. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was of jasper. It goes on and on and on. And all I want to express here is I'm not going to express the possible typological meanings of these stones, but rather give one grand, glorious truth concerning God's grace. And God has spoken of grace this morning, so I want you to take heed to what I'm about to say. For God will take that which is rough and hidden in the dirt and the caves of this earth. And I don't care where you think you are and where you, what you think you are going through and what you think is clinging on you. He sees that. He knows that. And he is going to do that and take these stones and cut them to his liking by sharpening their countenance and polishing them with his love. God is going to take the foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the things which are despised, and the things which shall one day be risen to such a height of glory that the world has never seen in fallen man that it will stagger their minds. Brethren, that means you. That means you. For the beauty of this one must be commensurate with the one she's about to marry, the Son of Man. For she's going to be joined to him for all eternity. But God is going to take her, polish her to such a height of glory. But can you catch this? This is by his grace and mercy. It will not be done any other way. Now, not just any fair maiden is worthy of the honor to be called the bride of Christ. And neither would the Father permit his Son to just marry anyone, but just the one who shall have the beauty of his chosen one. And I hope this morning that I've just portrayed something to you, that you've seen the glory of God as God would create that within his people. Can you catch the vision of what we're building? This is a grand, glorious structure. I just pray that by this morning these truths have just hit in your heart, that you would take them home with you, that you would develop them in your heart and mind and walk with him to a place of honor and glory that he's calling us to. Amen?